Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, sat by the roadside, begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to you, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in this year of mercy, we encounter one of the most powerful scenes in the Gospel about the mercy of Jesus. It's not just about how compassionate the Son of David was to this blind man sitting by the side of the road crying out like an animal, which is what the verb St. Mark uses in Greek describes. But it also points to the journey that each of us is supposed to make. Today's first reading, St. Peter was a witness to that scene. Tells us to come to Jesus, a living stone who was rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. He says, "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And he calls us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So that journey out of darkness into the light of the Lord, the light that we talked about in the versicle before the Gospel, "I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will have the light of life," that journey is the journey of every single one of us. And so as we hear the details of this encounter of Jesus with Bartimaeus, we can start to see the way that the Lord has acted in our own life, calling us from that darkness into his light as a royal priesthood, capable of offering the spiritual sacrifice of our entire life to God. Mercy always leads to this capacity to glorify God and give him that witness. Jesus was leaving Jericho, literally the lowest place on earth, symbolically the place where Jesus would go, because he would enter into whatever depths he needed to in order to meet us. Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. There's a lot in that phrase. Bartimaeus is an Aramaic name. Literally, it means the son of Timaeus. But then St. Mark, who doesn't do this in his Gospel, says in Greek, "the son of Timaeus." Because in Greek, that word teme means honor. And St. Augustine in the early church said that the combination of the two, teme in Aramaic means shame. More or less the same word in Greek means honor. That he was describing that he was full of shame in the Aramaic word, but that he was the son of honor, almost to symbolize how far he had fallen. He had fallen not just having lost his sight, unlike the man in St. John's Gospel who was born blind. Bartimaeus had lost his sight, because when Jesus asks him later, "What do you want me to do for you?" the word that he says when it says, "Lord, I want to see," is anablepo in Greek, which, as you all know, means see again. He wants to see again. He wants to have his sight restored. So he had lost his dignity. He not only could no longer see, but he had been reduced to begging. He just sat there by the roadside. And hearing that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, Jesus easily could have gone straight up to Bartimaeus. He didn't. He passed by to give Bartimaeus a chance to act. And the Lord often does the exact same thing with us. He comes close to us, but he doesn't come all the way, so that he can engage our freedom, so that he's not forcing himself on us. He's constantly passing by. We're constantly having the opportunity for encounter. But we also have to participate. We also have to be willing to do something. We also have to be willing to move. Hearing that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to cry out like an animal, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." To say that term, Son of David, meant he recognized he was the Messiah. He had heard these stories of what this carpenter from Nazareth had been doing north of Jericho in Galilee. And he had come to believe that he was the long-awaited one. And hearing that Jesus was close, he was going to scream at the top of his lungs in the hope that the Messiah would do something for him. "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." What was the response? The response was a lack of compassion by many in the crowd. They didn't care about this blind man. Many rebuked him, telling him to shut up. Jesus, this rabbi, was teaching, as the rabbis always did, on the way up that 15-mile journey from Jericho to Jerusalem, and didn't want to interrupt his ambulatory lecture. Total lack of compassion for this man and his need. These people weren't yet ready to understand the essence of Jesus' teaching, which was to love others as he had loved us, to enter into their misery, just like Jesus had gone to the lowest place on earth to enter into ours. But that didn't stop him. It didn't discourage him. He wasn't going to let the people getting in the way stop him from Jesus. He had a perseverance because he had a great desire and he had a great trust. He kept crying, screaming, screeching all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me. Show me your mercy." And so Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Jesus knew that there were far more important things than continuing that walk. Jesus likewise stops for us whenever the whole sacramental system, with all the means of salvation, exists just for us. He stops for us in our prayer. He stops for us in our need. He stops to wipe us of our sins. He stops to have pity on us too, regularly. So then they call the blind man, saying, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." A whole vocation retreat can be summed in that phrase. Don't be afraid. Get up from where you are. Jesus is calling. And then we see one of the most beautiful things about Bartimaeus' response. This blind man threw aside his cloak. This was his security blanket, but this was also the way that he would keep warm at night. In the Holy Land, you can have 50 or 60 degree temperature shifts on any given day, some of the times even more. It would be enough for us in an age in which people take things and walk away with it, for us to throw away our blanket, our winter jacket, our cloak. But if we were blind, we might never really be able to find it again. We might not be able to see anybody who's there. It was an extraordinary act of trust that he threw aside his cloak, and he sprang up, was the word of St. Mark, with great alacrity. He was enthusiastic when he was crying on out. He wasn't crying out with self-pity, the type of self-pity that can say, oh, he mustn't really mean it when he's calling me to come to him. In which, no matter what we're asking, we just don't believe that even God will respond, and so that when he does, we don't want to accept it. No, he was crying out with faith in the tremendous hope that God would respond. And at the smallest little indication, he sprang up, in a sense, leaving his former security behind, leaving his life behind. He sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He wasn't going to ask alms. He wasn't going to ask for anything small. He wasn't just going to ask Jesus to pray for him. Boldly, he said, Lord, I want to see again. Just think about that in the way that we pray. Are we that direct? Are we that confident that there's nothing the Lord can't do? I want a real miracle. Confident that I'm not asking someone who can't do it, but someone, in fact, who can. Lord, I want to see again. And Jesus told him, curiously, go your way, your faith has saved you. So Jesus was giving him something far greater than his sight. He was giving him salvation, but he was also giving him freedom. That verb, go your way, was, I'm not going to do this for you so that you're an indentured servant of mine, always owing me for the rest of your life. He was going to totally allow him with his sight to do what he wanted with it, to engage that freedom. But as soon as he had received his sight, he followed Jesus on the way. He followed him that 15-mile journey uphill. He followed him in Jerusalem. He was probably present on Palm Sunday. Who knows what happened later in the life of Bartimaeus, but we can have confidence that Bartimaeus continued to use his newfound sight in order to follow Jesus out of darkness into his light, into the fullness of that salvation. Pope Benedict, back in 2012, gave an extraordinary homily on this passage because it came up on the Sunday that he was concluding the year of the new evangelization, the year in which we were focused on faith and spreading the faith. Sorry, it was the year in which he finished the synod on the new evangelization. So it was the final mass, and this was the gospel that came on up. And he used it to describe how all of us in the church who are an assembly of cured blind people following Jesus along the way are called to hear the cries of others who are likewise screaming out to Jesus for mercy. Bring them to Jesus like Bartimaeus was brought, and then allow them to join us along that pilgrimage to the place in which there will be no darkness, heaven. He said, the world in which we're serving is a world like Bartimaeus that has fallen from its dignity. But that can be restored. That needs to see again. It had previously looked at things with the light of faith, but then eventually the sight was lost. And so Pope Benedict was going to try to help us to discover how to do the new evangelization by bringing people along this pilgrimage, by entering into other people's darkness with the light of the Lord, allow them to see that Jesus is passing by, hearing their cries, arranging that encounter, establishing them in freedom, and then encouraging them to join us along the journey of healed Bartimaeus, which we call the church. I'll save you the rest of what Pope Benedict said, because we've got an incredible illustration of it today in the life of St. Philip Neri. Which if I were Pope, I would declare St. Philip Neri the patron of the new evangelization, because I really think that he is. He was born in Florence, but when he was 18, he went to Rome. He gave up the apprenticeship and an inheritance from his uncle in order to go to the city of Rome, and as a layman, almost became a recluse and a monk in an attic where he was tutoring somebody from Florence in order to just pay for enough olives each day so that he could survive. But the Lord was doing something wondrous in Philip. On Pentecost 1544, the Holy Spirit came as a burst of light within him, expanded his heart and his ribs, so that he would be able to love with the love of God and bring Rome in the early 1500s back to faith. After the sack of Rome in 1527, Rome was totally devastated, almost like no time since the 5th century. He had a whole bunch of Renaissance popes and cardinals who were buying their office, who were often subcontracting pastoral ministry to those who were unworthy. So many of the women had been violated during the sack of Rome in 1527. The whole place was forlorn. But God was going to use St. Philip Neri to bring it back. He used it step by step. He would draw close to those on street corners. Just say, Fratelli, quando faremo il bene? When will we begin to do good? When are we going to start to do good? And just do it with cheerfulness, and then say, who is this guy who's perpetually in a good mood? He knew that in order to draw people out of darkness, there needed to be some light. He just couldn't curse the darkness. That if he was ever going to draw them away from the Saturnalia and all of the corrupt things of the age, he had to have an alternative. So he started to arrange beautiful sung music with guys by the name of Giovanni Pierluigi da Palestrina and others of the greatest musicians who have ever lived, to be able to do small little quartets and performances so that people would be showing up to something that would capture them at the level of their humanity, which was made by God to seek beauty. Instead of all of the literature that had been rediscovered from the classical Greco-Roman period, which was being studied during the Renaissance, all stuff about pedophilia and other stuff coming from Greece, he was giving lectures and a little oratory so that people would be able to know the truth. He knew that people wanted to do something good with their life, so he started to organize bands to go to hospitals and care for those who were sick, because it was through charity that people would get involved. He knew that there needed to be real devotion, and that especially for guys, devotion couldn't just be sitting still or kneeling, but that it had to be a journey so that they'd be able to get out their energy in an exertion. So he organized the 7 church walks, 18-mile journeys in Rome, so that they'd be able to pray and meet along the way, but that it would also be some exercise for them. Out of love for the Eucharist, and today is Corpus Christi in the Universal Church, he started 40-hour devotions so that people would be able to give that type of dedication over to the Lord. Started to do so much to give people an opportunity to meet Jesus, who was constantly passing by in each of these areas, in his teaching, in the beauty of the music written to praise God, in charity, particular way in his sacred body and his precious blood. And little by little, one by one, St. Philip Neri was God's instrument to bring all of Rome back to the faith. For that reason, he was called the Apostle of Rome, in union with Peter, Paul, and Lawrence, who were the original patrons. The new evangelization, entering into people's darkness with the true light of the faith shining in the beauty that the Church has produced in her womb, in the beauty of sacred music, in the beauty of truth, in the beauty of the Eucharist and God's incredible love for us. This is the path. Today, as we come forward, Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" Some of you may need to ask for the ability to stay awake. Some of you may need to ask for much more. But the Lord wants to give us boldly what we request, so that having received from Him the grace to see everything in His light, we might follow Him even more closely on the way and become a light for those still trapped in spiritual blindness, to learn how to cry out to Him, to see, and to follow. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.